Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Glenn Harness with Health and Wellness. Today I'm talking with Valerie Thayer, who's an RN at the Occupational Health Clinic. We're going to be talking a little bit about what happens if you get exposed to an infectious disease while working at Vanderbilt and what kind of diseases you might be exposed to. Can you tell me what the most likely diseases are that I could be exposed to here at Vanderbilt?
As a Vanderbilt faculty staff or staff person in a clinical area, you could be exposed to a variety of infectious diseases. Here are the most common: pertussis, chickenpox, TB, and meningitis. During flu season, you could be exposed to flu, RSV during RSV season. Both of these are normally predominant during the late fall and early spring.
How do I know if I've been exposed?
There are several ways that you could be informed of an exposure. The most reliable method is either by infection control or occupational health. Sometimes well-meaning coworkers and physicians can give undocumented information regarding a patient's diagnosis. So if you suspect that you've been exposed, talk with your manager, charge nurse. He or she should consult with infection control, not infectious diseases, because they are two totally separate departments with different functions. Infection control will then determine if the patient has been diagnosed with an infectious disease and if an exposure has occurred. Infection control then notifies occupational health. It is occupational health's responsibility to work with the manager of the units involved to determine who was exposed. Once a list of exposed persons has been formulated by chart review and manager input, occupational health then contacts the exposed faculty and staff. Occupational health contacts potentially exposed faculty and staff by phone, email, or beeper. Please respond as soon as possible. For most exposure situations, if medication is recommended, it is important to begin post-exposure prophylaxis as soon as possible after the exposure. This does not mean that it's an emergent basis, but simply as soon as possible. If you're concerned about an exposure, you may call infection control or occupational health yourself. This will begin an investigation regarding the patient's diagnosis.
What exactly is a true exposure?
The answer to that question is disease specific. We'll start with pertussis. This is transmitted by Bordetella pertussis, which is a bacteria in the respiratory droplets of an infected person. It stays suspended in the air for a short distance. The contact required for transmission of pertussis would be close face-to-face contact within 3 feet of the patient without wearing a surgical mask. For instance, if you gave a patient a bath, did vital signs without a mask, you would be considered exposed. If, on the other hand, you entered the room and performed any task that did not bring you within 3 feet of the patient, even if you did not have a mask on, you would not be exposed. Bacterial meningitis is transmitted by droplet route as well. The difference here is that the bacteria that causes meningitis requires much closer contact to be transmitted. To be exposed to meningitis, you would have to be very close to the patient's face. For example, holding a patient for a spinal tap or other test that required you to be close to his face or have contact with his oral respiratory secretions while not wearing a mask. As with pertussis, just entering the room without contact mentioned above does not mean you were exposed. Post-exposure medication is recommended for two types of meningitis: Neisseria meningitis and Haemophilus influenza. Haemophilus influenza meningitis is seen infrequently since the vaccine has been available. Contact with a patient who has viral meningitis or aseptic meningitis, as it is sometimes called, does not require post-exposure medication. Varicella or chickenpox is caused by varicella zoster virus and can be transmitted by contact with lesion drainage or by breathing the air contaminated with the virus. This virus is transmitted by airborne route, which means that it can stay in the air for further distances than the organisms we mentioned earlier. To be considered exposed to chickenpox, one would need to be in the room with this patient without an N95 mask and or touch lesion drainage. This organism also causes shingles. When you have chickenpox and recover, the virus remains in your nerve fibers and can reactivate at a later time if you are under stress or your immune system is not functioning normally. Tuberculosis or TB is caused by Mycobacterium tuberculosis and is another bacteria that is transmitted by the airborne route. This means that this organism is so small that it stays in the air for an unknown amount of time. It is released into the air when a person with active TB disease sings, coughs, laughs, or breathes. Exposure to TB is possible by simply entering a room with a TB patient and not wearing an N95 mask. If the room is small and not well ventilated, the exposure is more significant. For instance, riding in a car with a patient with active tuberculosis would be much higher risk than sitting in close proximity to a room in a large auditorium where the air circulation is much better and the space is larger. There are many factors that influence TB conversion. TB conversion means that the result of your TB skin test goes from negative to positive. This indicates that your body recognizes that you have come in contact with the TB germ. This does not mean that you have TB disease and are sick or infectious to others, unless you have symptoms such as cough, night sweats, fever, poor appetite, or fatigue. When you have a TB skin test conversion at Vanderbilt, whether it is due to TB exposure or not, occupational health will assess you to see if you have any symptoms that are suggestive of TB disease.
If I'm exposed, will I have to fill out a Tennessee First Report of Injury form?
You sure do, and the reason that's very important is because if you have any type of charges related to the exposure, then the Tennessee First Report of Injury form being filed and gotten to risk management ensures that risk management will reimburse you for your charges.
All right, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was nice being with you today.
Thanks for listening. If you have any comments or story suggestions, please email us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu or visit our website, www.healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu, and click on the podcast link.